You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So I caught up with Sandra Murray from the New Zealand Product Stewardship Council to discuss China's recent plastic ban announcement. China, who take more than half of the world's waste exports, plans to ban certain waste products by the start of 2018 that are contaminating and polluting their environment after being sent into their country. I asked Sandra what this will mean for New Zealand and what really happens after you throw your single-use packaging into the recycling bin.
China has in recent years been steadily tightening up the regulations and the rules around what they will accept in terms of waste material. A few years back they brought in something which they sort of called green fence, which was an initial strengthening of the laws around waste that was being imported. And they're doing this because China's actually doing quite a big push to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions and improve their environment, the environment that they've got there, because they have quite a big problem of environmental pollution in China. So all of this waste that they're importing is causing problems for them, and they're trying to tighten up on that.
So by them, you know, sort of saying, banning these certain products that they're saying are contaminating and polluting their environment, if we, you know, continue on this trajectory of still producing this waste but now can't ship it elsewhere, does that mean that we're going to have that same sort of pollution problem in New Zealand?
Well, we should be trying to keep our waste in New Zealand. I think it's abhorrent that we ship our waste over to often third world countries or countries that have poorer environmental legislation than we do. We're just exporting our problem elsewhere. So I think that we should be trying to actually keep all our waste in New Zealand and deal with it here under our own environment and labour laws, which are, of course, much stronger than in the countries where we're often exporting to.
And when will we see this happen? You know, is this happening at the end of this year that they're putting this ban in place?
Yeah, so by early 2018, we'll have the ban will be in place. But it's not going to have too big an impact on New Zealand, because we do have other markets that we can export to. We do have some processing facilities in New Zealand. But mostly, the impact's mostly going to be felt in council curbside services, which they will need to try and reduce the contamination levels in their recycling. So people will need to actually start doing what they're supposed to do, wash their recycling and sort it correctly. But smaller councils will be hit harder by it. The recyclers, they'll just pass the costs on to council. The bigger picture, really, the thing we have to start addressing is that what is in your recycling bin? It's packaging. Nobody wants that packaging. Consumers don't go out and say, gosh, I'd really like more packaging with that product I just bought.
Yeah.
You know, and so the ultimate problem is that the people who are producing, manufacturing and selling products just simply need to stop creating so much packaging, because we don't, those curbside services that people have, well, they cost a lot of money. Councils and ultimately ratepayers are paying for those services, and those services are there for the sole purpose of dealing with packaging waste.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's like nobody wants that packaging.
Yeah.
So let's just stop producing the packaging, and then ratepayers would save a whole lot of money on their recycling services, and then we've got a much greater chance of being able to deal with that material on shore, and we wouldn't have to worry about what China's doing.
Is recycling sort of a feel-good industry in terms of the companies are saying that the packaging that they're producing is recyclable and that sort of makes people feel good and, oh, that's okay because I can recycle it? Is it a bit of a lie? Like, what actually happens with that recycling?
Well, I think you can go back and say, how did curbside recycling come about? Curbside recycling came about because product producers wanted to change from a system where they collected up their containers, washed them and then reused them. They wanted to change to single-use packaging that went out and never came back. Okay, and then what happened is suddenly there was a big waste problem and there was a big litter problem. So they encouraged and pressured council to start curbside services to deal with the single-use products that they had introduced into the market. Okay, so if you go back like that, you can see that the whole problem lies in a disposable, single-use attitude to products in the first place. It's all simply a way that those companies could then say it's okay that we produce this single-use material because, look, councils have recycling. But recycling is not the solution to our waste problems. It's It's just it's very low level. If you look at the hierarchy of how to deal with waste, it's in the middle there. You know, first of all, we should be avoiding waste. We should be reducing, we should be reusing, repairing, and then you get down to recycling. But ultimately, it all comes down to redesign. We've simply got to stop designing products that end up as waste.
So when they do go into the recycling bin, what then happens? Like, how is it recycled and what is it used for?
So it depends where you are in the country as to how it's dealt with. So ultimately, it gets collected. Sometimes it's sorted at curbside. Sometimes it's all put into one big truck and taken to a facility and then sorted, you know, by a machine. So the material gets sorted into the different categories, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 sort of thing. And then they get baled, and then they get sent to a processing plant. So, for example, you know, there's a new PET, which is number one, processing plant that's been set up in Christchurch. So you could send your material there and it will get processed, and other material has to go overseas. And then you've got things like, you know, everything from 3 up has got much lower value on the open market. And so some councils only accept some of that material because there is no market for it. Number 7 is miscellaneous, and so that's often contaminated. Things like meat trays and things like that, there's nothing that can be done with it, and it's likely to go to landfill. So different things happen to the different plastics. Your paper and cardboard is generally, you know, well serviced. It's usually bundled up and sent to a paper processing plant or exported. Metal, it's great. Everyone wants the metal. There's no problem there. It's all collected up and recycled. So your different materials have different things happen to them, but plastics are particularly problematic because they have different values. And again, it comes back to that design. If product producers made their products out of plastics that were worth more in the recycling market, then that would make it more cost-effective to recycle them.
Do you think we need to see the government put in place, you know, a law that is more hard on this redesign, you're saying, or is based around a more zero-waste approach?
We already have that law. It's called the Waste Minimisation Act 2008. And Section 2 of that Act deals with regulations around making it mandatory for product producers to actually redesign their product or take responsibility for their product at end of life. So that's things like product stewardship, bottle deposit systems, which we're currently campaigning to bring in, bans on plastic bags, bans on any product, in fact. So the government already has all that regulation, but we've had 9 years of a Minister for the Environment who just did not want to bring in regulation. Mm. So it's now David Parker's responsibility. He has the legislation at his fingertips. He has a coalition agreement with the Green Party that specifically says that all categories of waste will have a reduction in waste to landfill by 2020. Now, just to put that in context, in the last 3 years, waste to landfill has increased by 20%. So if we're now going to have a coalition agreement that says waste to landfill is going to have a decrease, then that's actually, you know, there's a lot of work. And that is only going to be able to happen if product stewardship is brought in. If we actually say the producers of these materials need to be responsible for what happens to their products at the end of life, because then they will have the incentive to redesign their products so that they're not a problem, so they can be recycled, so they can be repaired, so they can be reused.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.